Within 6 miles of Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. ShakeandWakeRadio.com.
Alrighty, guys and gals, get ready to shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie, live from the Sunshine State.
Deal with it.
You deal with it. This is an All Points Bulletin. Be on the lookout for the couple known as Rick and Annie. And see if you can catch them.
They are armed with the truth. Considered extreme and dangerous.
Shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. For more information on the suspects, visit shakeandwakeradio.com. See if you can catch them. Alrighty, guys and gals.
Hey, let the frog out of the throat.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Annie. How you doing today? I see you got your coffee IV in really good. Did Rick help you with that?
Yes, he did. He's been a big help.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And Grandpa.
Hey, I'm still sleeping.
Wake up, Grandpa.
When you get to be my age, you want to sleep as much as you can.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Sleep. What's that?
We don't
do that too often anymore.
No.
Started doing a radio show 5 days a week, then six or seven, and now we're doing a network. What were we thinking?
I don't know.
Sleep just went screaming out the door.
Yep. Down the street, down the highway. I know.
This is a special edition of Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network.
And you want to know why?
A special 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific special with one of our favorite guests that we've had on many times. And here's a little hint before we introduce him.
Olé!
That was a hint. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one of our favorite correspondents and returning guests, Mr. Ole Damagord. Welcome, Ole.
Thank you so much. You really know how to make one feel welcome.
Oh, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Ole reported live from Bilderberg this past year, and that was really cool to have him there. Did you want to mention anything about that?
No, I just wanted to say thank you once again for helping me maybe possibly defuse a false flag massacre that they had been planning there, if what I think was being set up was correct.
Oh, I totally agree. And so did the others that heard your information. It really looked like something was going to happen.
It sure did, and it was thanks to you and other radio hosts that were so quick to get the information out there, when once I discovered what was going on, it was thanks to you that I could spread it out over the globe in just within a few hours and just screw it up for them. And I think, I really believe that we managed to defuse what was going to be an awful, awful thing that was aimed at shutting down the internet as well. So it was a big thing. So I'm really, really grateful for you being there.
Yeah, you know, all the hosts who had you on, because, you know, you went on a few different shows, but even Chip Tatum thought that something was wrong and told you, if you see anything or hear anything, to get out of there fast, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Chip has been involved in several false flag operations himself, and so he was, once I described the whole setup and the whole scenario, he said right away, whoa, 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 this smells a long way. Jim Fetzer as well, Professor Jim Fetzer, who devoted his whole adult life on exposing these things, he agreed. And also a security expert I spoke to who had been in for more than 20 years, he also said, my God, this really, really sounds like you're onto a possible false flag here. So that it was only after getting it confirmed from them that I took the step to go out globally and just expose it before they could pull it off.
Yeah, well, before, for those who don't know what the situation was, could we do like a quick version of what you saw over there and what made you feel uneasy and talking to other people and telling them the lack of security and the state of the building and how some people from InfoWars were able to go up and film in some of the windows that would have never been allowed in the past, you know? In other words, go ahead, for those who didn't hear your reports then, for anybody listening, the Bilderberg incident was likely a setup for another false flag, and Ole had been there to he was expecting to see more of what you've all seen when you watch a video that shows the Bilderbergers getting, you know, the members getting together, all the cars coming in, heavy, heavy, heavy security. It's usually a hotel in the country, really beautiful, ritzy, and it just didn't look right to you and everyone that you told, you know?
It really feels like speaking to Louis Armstrong. I don't know what you've done to your voice, Rick. But no, the thing was that...
It's not awake yet.
No.
It's not awake yet. I didn't go to sleep till like 9 o'clock this morning. Rick Ritenour and William Samsel, Bill Samsel, came to visit us. They're here. They've been... It's going on 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've had two of the co-owners of the network who started it with me visiting, hanging out since last Monday. So, okay. Louis Armstrong.
Huh? Louis Armstrong it is.
Well, hello, Dolly. It's been swell, Dolly. It's so nice. Oh, I should be saying, well, hello, Ole, it's been swell. Ole, it's so nice to have you here.
No, what happened was...
I see clouds of blue.
God, can you mute this guy's mic?
Go ahead.
I was invited some listeners who might not know who I am, I devoted like 30 years of my life into doing everything I can to expose false flag operations, assassinations, assassins, and so-called terror acts for about 30 years of my life. And one of the things that I focused on is trying to expose this so-called Bilderberg group that was created in 1954 from a core group of the so-called elite. And the whole idea with the Bilderberg Group was to have a small steering committee that would invite handpicked people from each and every Western country, so that they could control country by country by just a handful of people in each country. And that would mean that they would invite anyone from, you know, like the global the royal families, politicians, bankers, industrialists, people from security services, you name it, anyone that can really help control a society. If you can control him, then these are the type of people they got in to become members in this Bilderberg Group. So if you look at it, their agenda that has leaked out, and the meetings they've had for the last 60 years since 54 and all the way up until this year, every year they've been meeting in different countries, different locations, and so on, to move around so that the normal people would have absolutely no idea what was going on. And so in my book Coup d'etat in slow motion, the last 200 pages, it's 1100 pages, that consists just of the membership list, the location, the agenda, and so on, what has been going on at these meetings. Because when you compare the agenda with what happened in the world the following year after the meetings, you will see that there are incredible links between what was going on in the meetings and then what happened really. So I would strongly suggest that the Bilderberg Group is part of a global shadow government, and this is why it's so important to expose it. So in sometimes also over the years, they're one of the tools that they use of these false flag operations, where they secretly create a problem, most of the time a bomb, to get a reaction from the public saying, oh my god, something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, who secretly created the problem, for the solution, and then that would justify the solution that I then would push forward. And so in May, end of May and the beginning of June this year, I was invited to Copenhagen to be one of the key speakers outside the hotel that they were going to meet. And like Rick said, normally these hotels that they choose are in secluded areas, easy to secure, all parameters to check the roads in and out. They normally have helicopters coverage from above, they've got snipers, they've got heavily armed police officers everywhere. The whole area is closed off, and just so that normal people will have absolutely no idea. But over the years, more and more researchers have become aware of this group and has started trying to find out where they're going to meet, the agenda, who are the members, and so on. So when the members, they normally arrive in these black limos with tinted windows. It really is like in a James Bond movie. They come in long rows of these limos. Photographers have been trying to take photos of whoever have been in these cars and so on. So when I was invited to this meeting, or to be part of the group outside the hotel, I was very happy to accept that. And so I flew into Copenhagen from Spain. And as soon as I arrived to the airport, I asked if you could please take me to the hotel. This was the evening before the first members was supposed to arrive. And I went there. I was expecting to see the normal type of thing before this meeting, that police, very clear police presence, you know, bomb sniffing dogs, the whole shebang starting up, because just 12 hours before, that's where all the preparations are going on and so on. And if an attack would be aimed at this group, this is when so-called terrorists would do it. Not that I'm sure there is such a thing as a normal terrorist. But anyway, so I was expecting this heavy police presence and so on. And then when we came to, I think there's an echo on my voice at the moment. But anyway, when we came to the hotel, there was absolutely nothing. There were two Danish police officers by the side of the hotel. Otherwise than that, zero, absolute zero. except for three black limos with tinted windows that were standing right out front of the entrance of the hotel.
So like a decoy, just to make it look good.
It was almost like they had put like a business card saying, "Yes, we are in here. If you don't know if you're at the right hotel, this is the one."
They did this. Didn't they do that with Diana a lot? They would put a limo outside. If it was known that Diana was inside a place,
it's standard.
They would have a fancy car drive up to the front to draw the paparazzi, and then they screw out the back door to another car.
Exactly. That's the way to do it. It's normal procedure, standard procedure. When I came there, I got so confused because it was such an odd location. You know, the hotel, if you look from above, it's right by the one of the major water canals going into the harbor in Copenhagen. The hotel is super central, right in the middle of town. So you got the canal, then you got the hotel, then you got one of the major streets going through Copenhagen, two lanes in each direction. Then opposite that, you got a big open area. I think there's been a building that they tore down or something like that. It looks like that. This area is now used as a parking area for the Danish police headquarters. So the hotel, the main street, this big parking area that was fenced in to welcome the truth movement, or to get them in the corral there. And then on the other side of that were the Danish headquarters. Then on the two ends of this parking area, you had big buildings that were insurance companies and banks, most of them. So the whole area was very weird compared to what they normally used. And I thought it was so odd because so hard to secure the water side of the every single house and building on the other side of the water would be a potential threat, you know, people with high power rifle or Stinger missiles or rocket launch, you name it. And just the entrance right by the main street would do that. Every single vehicle that passed would be a threat as well, you know, hand grenades, bazookas, you name it, machine guns and so on. And then to have the truth movement so close, it was only like 50 meters from the entrance, it was very odd.
Tell them about what you saw in the protester section.
No, so I'm gonna get there. So
So
I thought, how odd is this? You know, I know that they, when I was there, they were starting to build like a wall around it, a concrete wall with like a cloth, like 2 meter cloth on top, so that you couldn't see the hotel really. But it was very open right at the entrance, so that when people were gonna go in and out of the vehicles, it would be very easy to take photos of them, observe them, and very bad from security point of view. So I thought, these people, this group, have access to the best security and military advisors, you name it. They've got control of these people. Why on earth would they choose a hotel like this that really sucks when it comes to security? Didn't make any sense. So I started walking around, and just like you said, there was a few people from InfoWars. They were walking all the way up to the hotel itself and filming in through the windows. And two of the other key speakers, we were four in total, there were Luke Radovsky from We Are Change and Dan Dix from Canada. These two people entered the hotel the evening before and were arrested in there because they filmed, and then I think they refused to delete the filming or something like that. So they were arrested. But just to get into the hotel like that was also very strange, I would say. So I started looking at the area from a different point of view, because I thought, this hotel, they've chosen it for a reason. So what would it be perfect for? And that was when it hit me, like, oh my God, it is absolutely perfect for a false flag operation. In an operation where you could demonize the whole truth movement globally in one single blow. And so what I saw, knowing what I know from studying these people for 30 years, so I know how they think and what they need to pull these things off, So what I saw was, here we have an area that is totally controlled by them. The Marriott Hotel, where the meeting was supposed to be, were under their control. The police as well. So you got the police headquarters and the hotel, these two buildings, under their control. I'm not saying the whole Danish police, but I'm saying the key people in the police. This is the standard procedure in all these different countries. And then on the sides, the insurance companies and the banks that we were talking about are also indirectly controlled by people in this elite group through ownership and different. So suddenly I was looking at an area that was totally under their control. So what I saw a possibility was that they had fenced the area in the, on the parking area. It was fenced in so that the only way that you could enter this was through one of the back streets. And this back street was aimed straight at the central station in Copenhagen that was just like 500 meters away or something like that. So the whole truth movement would be very easily controlled, coming with trains or buses or whatever to the central station. And then the police only had to guard them sort of like for a couple of hundred meters and then get them into the corral. So to pull a thing like this off, what they need is drama, you know. So I think they would have been aiming at maybe getting a couple of thousand of the truth seekers in this area, right opposite the hotel. Then they would drive in some doubles into the hotel. So you just like they do with these false flag operations, in some extras, you know. Some of them might have been put on a mask, you know, looking like Henry Kissinger or Queen Beatrix. It's not difficult nowadays with the makeup thing they can do, because you only got a few seconds to see people enter, it's like, and this could also be the reason why they left the space open so that people could very clearly see people getting in and out of the cars, but on a distance from 50, 100 meters, so not very close and only for a few seconds. I also want to point out that the few limos that arrived to that, because there were only very few, even though there's between 125 and 140 members of the Bilderberg group that normally arrives one or two in each vehicle, and then with bodyguards, sometimes with follow-up cars, very few vehicles, very few. And the people that entered the building that I saw...
You hear that going, that, not in here, right?
Had the right. Same...
Not hearing anything in the headset.
I'm sorry, the sound is very strange. Hello?
Okay, we got you back. Something happened.
Yeah,
the NSA was probably having some fun, you know?
It is standard every time I talk about these things, there are technical issues. So, anyway, so...
Yeah.
But there's this strange echo I hear myself and other people. Anyway...
Yeah, we were trying to work on that. I was checking the VAX. Just keep going and I'll straighten it out.
Okay. Some of the people that came the next day to the hotel, I just want to point out that I did not recognize any one of them. And you could see them. I mean, this hotel is made all of glass, you know, the front and the back are with glass windows. So you can see people inside the building. And all of them had name tags around their neck. Exactly like we've seen in Sandy Hook, Boston, the Boston bombing and so on, when they use extras, you know, when the whole thing is set up, all of them had the same thing hanging around their neck. Anyway, so the scenario that I saw was to get the truth movement in front of the hotel, then place a secure, like different TV team or film teams, one down the street with a wide angle so that you could cover both the hotel and the area where the truth movement is in one shot. Also different teams and buildings around so that you have the different angles, plus aerial footage in through these helicopters that were circling. And then you would a lot of explosives inside the hotel that would be more or less empty, but just like in Oklahoma City, and other buildings like in Norway and so on, fill the whole place with explosive that would be aimed straight forward towards the truth movement, not on the sides where it would damage the other buildings, but that's straight forward and on top of the truth movement. So then to be able to blame it on the truth movement, I need action, you know, I need drama. So what I would have done is to send in some provocateurs that would stir up the whole situation by starting to throw rocks, screaming, maybe throw some Molotov cocktails or something like that. And if that would not be enough, then I would have a secondary team of provocateurs dressed in Danish police uniforms that would then grab some innocent people that would also be provocateurs but dressed like truthers, and then start pulling them right in front of the fence, down in front of the whole group there of these couple of thousand people. That would just get the whole thing going. Maybe they would start beating him up a bit and so on. So the whole crowd would just go wild. And then while that whole thing was stirred up, then boom, they would let the explosion go, blow the whole front of the building out. And then with secondary explosives and so under the gravel in this area and so on, then pump these horrific images out in media saying, oh my God, here you have this truth movement. They say that they're looking for a peaceful, beautiful world. And what do? They bomb and blow up this innocent, poor little elite group who is just meeting for a nice little chat and a biscuit. And here they are. Because of that, because of this awful event, what we need to do is we need to ban the free internet. We need to shut down major parts of it, because it's on internet that this truth movement exchanges all this very, very dangerous terrorist information. So we need to shut that down. We need to shut down and ban alternative media like the Shake and Wake Radio and many other networks. And we need to ban all rights to meet in open places in big groups or to demonstrate and so on. That is what I saw. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's just the sound comes and goes.
Oh, yeah, right.
So when
I fixed the echo.
Excellent, thank you, Rick. No, so yeah. So what I did...
And you want to know what the other little noise in the background was? It's kind of funny.
Okay, tell me.
Danny had her headphones off.
Okay, so they were
around her neck. Around her neck. With it in front of her and her microphone.
Well, darling,
2 inches
maybe,
away.
Maybe if you didn't
so,
have...
The last few minutes, I had re-clicked the virtual audio cable connector in Skype, and you know, and then I found that little thing, and wow, the sound is perfect now.
Excellent.
Maybe
no echo. And
I'd like to make a suggestion. Maybe if you didn't have the headphones level so my ears are not bleeding.
But anyway, I
like it loud.
Once I started seeing what might be going down in Copenhagen, I contacted, just like you said, Chip Tatum, Jim Fetzer, and other security people, and they all agreed that this could very well be a real setup. So what I did was I contacted you. I contacted radio stations in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the States, and different countries in Europe, just getting you all to record the time and date when I went out with this info. And what I expect or suspected and feared what was being set up. You and...
Might have been thwarted. I think you thwarted it. I think by you putting it out there, they weren't able to actually do it.
I tell you, I really think so too, and that is not to boost my own ego, but that is afterwards by getting confirmed by quite a lot of people. I really think that we really were onto something there. But anyway,
if it was just the decoy, right, and they were meeting somewhere else, what would be the reason for that satanic symbol on the ground?
Yeah, this is the thing.
That?
In the morning when I arrived there, I was on the air until 4 a.m. or something like that. Then the next morning when I was one of the first down there, and right in the area where the truth movement was supposed to gather, there was a massive big pentagram. There were actually two. One of them made out of train sleepers, like 6 meters in diameter. Massive one. And can you imagine the impact of an image like that? If they had, if you had the hotel explode, you got blown up bodies, you got blood and smoke and all of these things. And in the middle of all of this, a big pentagram, you know. Oh,
yeah, I think they were going to sacrifice some people and pull a false flag. And because things didn't look right and you spoke out worldwide to the USA and other networks that they probably, you know, because they are listening, we could say hello to them, by the way.
Hi there.
Hey, guys, how you doing? You know you're going to hell, right? We're on the side of the creator, not the side of the destroyer. But, you know, there's nothing you can do to people like us or Olay because we win in the end through love and because of the supreme creator. And we're not the rebellious ones. You guys are. So we'll pray for you and we'll have, you know, mercy and pity. But God will decide what to do with you in the end.
Well, anyway, what I would strongly suggest to your listeners, since many of these things, these false flag operations that they pull off on a weekly basis now, the agenda nowadays is like the weekly scare. They need to get us, keep us scared all the time. And they very often involve drills in this whole thing, that they set up what is said to be a drill, and then the drill goes live halfway. So if you see in your town or city or wherever that they're setting up or preparing for a drill against mass shootings or school shootings or bomb drills or whatever it is, go down there, take your camera with you, your mobile, whatever, start filming them, make them very aware of that they are being observed while they're doing it. It can also look like a film set that they're setting up. Just go there and film and stream it up on YouTube while you do it, if you can, so that by doing so, maybe we can start defuse these things before they even happen, because they have only been able to pull these things off because they've been working in the dark, you know, with us not being aware. So now let's turn it around and be one step ahead of them instead.
Right. That's funny you use the line, working in the dark. In one of the Johnny Cash songs that we play sometimes, you can run on for a long time. He says, working in the dark against your fellow man. You can run on for a long time.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, gonna cut you down. That's a good song. Maybe we'll go to break with that.
Okay.
So what you been up to since the Bilderberg thing? It's been a few months. We started this network with some cool people, Barry Prince and Rick Rittenour and Bill Samsel and Annie and I. And now we're the Shake and Wake Radio Network. And all we got to do is take all the great hosts that we got and get them all the right slots. It's been a blast, and we're on a mission from God.
So what I've done is I went to Sweden for the first time in about 8 years, and one of the things was that I met with some very, very interesting people. There's one coming over from the States. He used to work at the Pentagon, and also people that are on a high level looking into these assassinations and so on. And we're talking about trying to make some kind of work together to expose these things. So that was very interesting for me. I also offered tours at the site of the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, which is an absolute mind-blowing conspiracy. It is unreal. I made a 9-hour interview with Red Eyes Creations about this assassination, because it's so multi-layered. So it's each time was like a 5-hour walk when we just walked around and I showed what actually happened instead of the official story that people are being fed, but what the witnesses saw and the whole who was involved and the whole thing, how it went down. And that was very much appreciated. I had people coming all the way from Norway just to take part of this, so that was a beautiful experience. But also lately, I've been looking into more and more about serial killers and the whole thing about these pedophile networking and how it all interacts with what we're talking about, the New World Order, and that. And it's just unreal how...
Luciferianism, right. Go ahead.
But it's
not really what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can combine all the different groups and call them whatever you want, but what they all have in common is they worship their destroyer god of this world, and that is Lucifer, the fallen one. And they do it with no mercy, no empathy, and bloodshed, sacrifice, the sickest, most abominations that could be done to them is worshipped. They're the opposite of what a normal human being would be, who has love and empathy. And
it's just very scary when you start to see how many in the upper parts of society that are involved in this, you know,
because we tend to think that it's just the Britney Spears ones and certain actresses or people in music. But as Fritz Springmeier said, he believes there's millions that have been mind controlled since Paperclip. Millions across America. And you know who else too? The other guy, Annie, who's the guy from Laurel Canyon that we had on, our
Dave
good
McGowan.
Friend Dave McGowan.
Yeah,
Dave McGowan wrote a book called Programmed to Kill.
That is one amazing book. I have big respect for his research. And this is the thing, when you start seeing that these serial killers,
right,
like Ted Bundy and Henry Lee Lucas and many of these other people, when you start, you know,
Son of Sam,
when you start taking it apart, you will see that these mad killing sprees that we are being told that they have done, many of them are clean executions, like, you know, like contract hits. And very often it seems like they're being blamed on one crazy guy. We're back to the lone nut. But actually that it seems like there's a group of people doing these things. And many of the killings are done with direct hits, you know, contact wounds with a .22. The reason why they use such a small caliber is that with a more powerful weapon, the bullet goes straight through the skull, and the impact or damage that it can do to the brain is not as big as if you use a small caliber where the bullet can
It rattles around in the skull. It will only go in, it won't come out.
Yeah, but it will also go ricocheting inside the skull.
Yeah, you know?
So this is the thing. And when you start seeing how many of these, you know, we are being told that serial killers, they have like they just go for one type of person, a brunette or a girl looking in that age and similar appearances, and they have these patterns.
Like John Wayne Gacy going after boys that are like, you know, teenagers. Go ahead.
But I tell you, when you look into many of these major serial killers and so on, their victims varies from children to pensionists, you know, people in their 70s, and it's men, women, children, the whole lot. There's no clear pattern, and the way they kill them, it absolutely not. So it does not make sense at all, the normal picture that we're being fed.
Right.
You know, that the Fed,
right,
the,
like,
where the Fed,
could they,
where the FBI and so on, they say profiling and they track them down. I would say we're looking at a very different picture here. I would think that you disguise a lot of these hits by making killing sprees so that people will not identify the victims and understand why they've been taken out.
Right. You know about the Beltway sniper, right?
No.
Remember the Washington Beltway sniper about 10 years ago?
No.
The guy Lee Malvo and his...
Hello?
Okay, we got you back. Something happened.
Yeah,
the NSA was probably having some fun, you know.
It is standard every time I talk about these things, there are technical issues. So,
yeah.
But there's this strange echo I hear myself and other people. Anyway.
Yeah, we were trying to work on that. I was checking the VATS Just keep going, and I'll straighten it out.
Okay. Some of the people that came the next day to the hotel, I just want to point out that I did not recognize any one of them, and you could see them. I mean, this hotel is made all of glass. You know, the front and the back are with glass windows, so you can see people inside the building, and all of them had name tags around their neck, exactly like we've seen in Sandy Hook, Boston. The Boston bombing and so on, when they use extras, you know, when the whole thing is set up, all of them had the same thing hanging around their neck. Anyway, so the scenario that I saw was to get the Truth Movement in front of the hotel, then place a secure, like different TV team or film teams, one down the street with a wide angle so that you could cover both the hotel and the area where the Truth Movement is in one shot. Also different teams and buildings around so that you have the different angles plus aerial footage in through these helicopters that were circling. And then you would a lot of explosives inside the hotel that would be more or less empty, but just like in Oklahoma City and other buildings like in Norway and so on, fill the whole place with explosives that would be aimed straight forward towards the Truth Movement, not on the sides where it would damage the other buildings, but that's straight forward and on top of the Truth Movement. So then to be able to blame it on the Truth Movement, I need action, you know, I need the drama. So what I would have done is to send in some provocateurs that would stir up the whole situation by starting to throw rocks, screaming, maybe throw some Molotov cocktails or something like that. And if that would not be enough, then I would have a secondary team of provocateurs dressed in Danish police uniforms that would then grab some innocent people that would also be provocateurs but dressed like truthers, and then start pulling them right in front of the fence, down in front of the whole group there of these couple of thousand people. That would just get the whole thing going. Maybe they would start beating him up a bit and so on. So the whole crowd would just go wild. And then while that whole thing was stirred up, then boom, they would let the explosion go, blow the whole front of the building out. And then with secondary explosives and so under the gravel in this area and so on, then pump these horrific images out in media saying, oh my God, here you have this Truth Movement. They say that they're looking for a peaceful, beautiful world. And what do? They bomb and blow up this innocent, poor little elite group who is just meeting for a nice little chat and a biscuit. And here they are. Because of that, because of this awful event, what we need to do is we need to ban the free internet. We need to shut down major parts of it, because it's on internet that this Truth Movement exchanges all this very, very dangerous terrorist information. So we need to shut that down. We need to shut down and ban alternative media like the Shake and Wake Radio and many other networks. And we need to ban all rights to meet in open places in big groups or to demonstrate and so on. That is what I saw. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's just the sound comes and goes.
Oh, yeah, right.
So when
I fixed the echo.
Excellent, thank you, Rick. No, so yeah. So what I did...
And you want to know what the other little noise in the background was? It's kind of funny.
Okay, tell me.
And he had her headphones off.
Okay, so they were
around
the ones...
Around her neck. With it in front of her and her microphone.
Well, darling,
2 inches
maybe,
away.
Maybe if you didn't
so,
have...
The last few minutes, I had re-clicked the virtual audio cable connector in Skype, and you know, and then I found that little thing, and wow, the sound is perfect now.
Excellent, excellent.
Maybe
no echo. And
I'd like to make a suggestion. Maybe if you didn't have the headphones level So my ears are not bleeding. I'm
oh,
have
I
to
like
take
it
them
loud.
Off.
Sorry.
I don't.
But anyway,
I like it loud.
Once I started seeing what might be going down in Copenhagen, I contacted, just like you said, Chip Tatum, Fetzer, Jim Fetzer, and other security people, and they all agreed that this could very well be a real setup. So what I did was I contacted you, I contacted radio stations in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the States, and different countries in Europe, just getting you all to record the time and date when I went out with this info. And what I expect or suspected and feared what was being set up. You and...
Might have been thwarted. I think you thwarted it. I think by you putting it out there, they weren't able to actually do it.
I tell you, I really think so too. And that is not to boost my own ego, but that is afterwards by getting confirmed by quite a lot of people. I really think that we really were onto something there. But anyway,
if it was just the decoy, right, and they were meeting somewhere else, what would be the reason for that satanic symbol on the ground?
Yeah, this is the thing.
In the
morning when I arrived there, I was on the air until 4 a.m. or something like that. Then the next morning when I was one of the first down there, and right in the area where the Truth Movement was supposed to gather, there was a massive big pentagram. There were actually two. One of them made out of train sleepers, like 6 meters in diameter. Massive one. And can you imagine the impact of an image like that if they had, if you had the hotel explode, you got blown up bodies, you got blood and smoke and all of these things.
In the middle of all of this,
a big pentagram. Yeah.
I think they were going to sacrifice some people and pull a false flag. And because things didn't look right and you spoke out worldwide to the USA and other networks that they probably, because they are listening, we can say hello to them, by the way.
Hi there.
Hey, guys, how you doing? You know you're going to hell, right? We're on the side of the creator, not the side of the destroyer, but... You know, there's nothing you can do to people like us or Olay because we win in the end through love and because of the Supreme Creator. And we're not the rebellious ones. You guys are. So we'll pray for you and we'll have, mercy and pity. But God will decide what to do with you in the end.
Well, anyway, I would strongly suggest to your listeners, since many of these things, these false flag operations that they pull off on a weekly basis now, the agenda nowadays is like the weekly scare. They need to get us, keep us scared all the time. And they very often involve drills in this whole thing, that they set up what is said to be a drill, and then the drill goes live halfway. So if you see in your town or city or wherever that they're setting up or preparing for a drill against mass shootings or school shootings or bomb drills or whatever it is, go down there, take your camera with you, your mobile, whatever, start filming them. Make them very aware of that they are being observed while they're doing it. It can also look like a film set that they're setting up. Just go there and film and stream it up on YouTube while you do it, if you can, so that by doing so, maybe we can start defuse these things before they even happen. Because they have only been able to pull these things off because they've been working in the dark, with us not being aware. So now let's turn it around and be one step ahead of them instead.
Right. That's funny you use the line, working in the dark. In one of the Johnny Cash songs that we play sometimes, you can run on for a long time. He says, working in the dark against your fellow man. You can run on for a long time.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, gonna cut you down. That's a good song. Maybe we'll go to break with that.
Okay.
So what you been up to since the Bilderberg thing? It's been a few months. We started this network with some cool people, Barry Prince and Rick Rittenour and Bill Samsel and Annie and I. And now we're the Shake and Wake Radio Network. And All we got to do is take all the great hosts that we got and get them all the right slots. It's been a blast, and we're on a mission from God.
So what I've done is I went to Sweden for the first time in about 8 years, and one of the things was that I met with some very, very interesting people. There's one coming over from the States. He used to work at the Pentagon, and also people that are on a high level looking into these assassinations and so on. And we're talking about trying to make some kind of work together to expose these things. So that was very interesting for me. I also took, I offered tours at the site of the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, which is an absolute mind-blowing conspiracy. It is unreal. I made a 9-hour interview with Red Eyes Creations about this assassination because it's so multi-layered. So it's each time was like a 5-hour walk when we just walked around and I showed what actually happened instead of the official story that people are being fed, but what the witnesses saw and the whole who was involved and the whole thing, how it went down. And that was very much appreciated. I had people coming all the way from Norway just to take part of this, so that was a beautiful experience. But also lately, I've been looking into more and more about serial killers and the whole thing about these pedophile networking and how it all interacts with what we're talking about, the New World Order. And it's just unreal how...
Luciferianism, right. Go ahead.
But it's...
That's really what it is, you know. Yeah. I mean, you can combine all the different groups and call them whatever you want, but what they all have in common is they worship their destroyer god of this world, and that is Lucifer, the fallen one. And they do it with no mercy, no empathy, and bloodshed, sacrifice, the sickest, most abominations that could be done to them is worshiped. They're the opposite of what a normal human being would be, who has love and empathy. And
it's just very scary when you start to see how many in the upper parts of society that are involved in this, you know. And what
because we tend to think that it's just the Britney Spears ones and certain actresses or people in music, but as Fritz Springmeier said, he believes there's millions that have been mind controlled since Paperclip, millions across America, and you know who else too? The other guy, Annie, who's the guy from Laurel Canyon that we had on, our
Dave
good
McGowan.
Friend Dave McGowan.
Yeah,
Dave McGowan wrote a book called Programmed to Kill.
That is one amazing, amazing book. I have big respect for his research, and this is the thing when you start seeing that these serial killers,
right,
like Ted Bundy and Henry Lee Lucas and many of these other people, when you start, you know,
Son of Sam,
when you start taking it apart, you will see that these mad killing sprees that we are being told that they have done, many of them are clean executions, like, you know, like contract hits. And very often it seems like they're being blamed on one crazy guy. We're back to the lone nut. But actually that it seems like there's a group of people doing these things. And many of the killings are done with direct hits, you know, contact wounds with a 22. The reason why they use such a small caliber is that with a more powerful weapon, the bullet goes straight through the skull, and the impact or damage that it can do to the brain is not as big as if you use a small caliber where the bullet can
It rattles around in the skull. It will only go in, it won't come out.
Yeah, but it would also go ricocheting inside the skull.
Yeah,
you know?
So
this is the thing. And when you start seeing how many of these, you know, we're being told that serial killers, they have like Like they just go for one type of person, a brunette or a girl looking in that age and similar appearances, and they had these
right, patterns. Like John Wayne Gacy going after boys that are like, you know, teenagers. Go ahead.
But yeah. I tell you, when you look into many of these major serial killers and so on, their victims varies from children to pensionists, you know, people in their 70s, and it's men, women, children, the whole lot. There's no clear pattern, and the way they kill them, it absolutely not. So it does not make sense at all, the normal picture that we're being fed,
right?
You know, that the Fed,
right,
the,
like
where the Fed, could they, where the FBI and so on, they say profiling and they track them down. I would say we're looking at a very different picture here. I would think that you disguise a lot of these hits by making killing sprees so that people will not identify the victims and understand why they've been taken out.
Right. You know about the Beltway sniper, right?
No.
Remember the Washington Beltway sniper about 10 years ago?
No.
The guy, Lee Malvo, and his...
Hello?
Okay, we got you back. Something happened.
Yeah,
the NSA was probably having some fun, you know.
It is standard every time I talk about these things, there are technical issues. So, anyway, so
yeah.
But there's this strange echo. I hear myself and other people. Anyway.
Yeah, we were trying to work on that. I was checking the vax. Just keep going, and I'll straighten it out.
Okay. Some of the people that came the next day to the hotel, I just want to point out that I did not recognize any one of them, and you could see them. I mean, this hotel is made all of glass. You know, the front and the back are with glass windows, so you can see people inside the building, and all of them had name tags around their neck, exactly like we've seen in Sandy Hook, Boston. The Boston bombing and so on, when they use extras, you know, when the whole thing is set up, all of them had the same thing hanging around their neck. Anyway, so the scenario that I saw was to get the Truth Movement in front of the hotel, then place a secure, like different TV team or film teams, one down the street with a wide angle so that you could cover both the hotel and the area where the Truth Movement is in one shot. Also different teams and buildings around so that you have the different angles plus aerial footage in through these helicopters that were circling, and then you would a lot of explosives inside the hotel that would be more or less empty, but just like in Oklahoma City and other buildings like in Norway and so on, fill the whole place with explosives that would be aimed straight forward towards the Truth Movement, not on the sides where it would damage the other buildings, but that's straightforward and on top of the Truth Movement. So then to be able to blame it on the Truth Movement, I need action, you know, I need the drama. So what I would have done is to send in some provocateurs that would stir up the whole situation by starting to throw rocks, screaming, maybe throw some Molotov cocktails or something like that. And if that would not be enough, then I would have a secondary team of provocateurs dressed in Danish police uniforms that would then grab some innocent people that would also be provocateurs but dressed like truthers, and then start pulling them right in front of the fence, down in front of the whole group there of these couple of thousand people. That would just get the whole thing going. Maybe they would start beating him up a bit and so on. So the whole crowd would just go wild. And then while that whole thing was stirred up, then boom, they would let the explosion go, blow the whole front of the building out. And then with secondary explosives and so under the gravel in this area and so on, then pump these horrific images out in media saying, oh my God, here you have this Truth Movement. They say that they're looking for a peaceful, beautiful world. And what do? They bomb and blow up this innocent, poor little elite group who is just meeting for a nice little chat and a biscuit. And here they are. Because of that, because of this awful event, what we need to do is we need to ban the free internet. We need to shut down major parts of it, because it's on internet that this truth movement exchanges all this very, very dangerous terrorist information. So we need to shut that down. We need to shut down and ban alternative media like the Shake and Wake Radio and many other networks. And we need to ban all rights to meet in open places, in big groups, or to demonstrate and so on. That is what I saw. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's just the sound comes and goes.
Oh, yeah, right.
So when
I fixed the echo.
Excellent, thank you, Rick. No, so yeah. So what I did...
And you want to know what the other little noise in the background was? It's kind of funny.
Okay, tell me.
Annie had her headphones off.
Okay, so they were
around
the ones...
her neck. Around her neck. With it in front of her and her microphone.
Well, darling,
2 inches
maybe,
away.
Maybe if you didn't
so,
have...
The last few minutes, I had re-clicked the virtual audio cable connector in Skype, and you know, and then I found that little thing, and wow, the sound is perfect now.
Excellent, excellent.
Maybe
no echo. And
I'd like to make a suggestion. Maybe if you didn't have the headphones level so my ears are not bleeding.
But anyway, I
like it a lot.
Once I started seeing what might be going down in Copenhagen, I contacted, just like you said, Chip Tatum, Fetzer, Jim Fetzer, and other security people, and they all agreed that this could very well be a real setup. So what I did was I contacted you. I contacted radio stations in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the States, and different countries in Europe, just getting you all to record the time and date when I went out with this info, and what I expect or suspected and feared what was being set up. You and...
Might have been thwarted. I think you thwarted it. I think by you putting it out there, they weren't able to actually do it.
I tell you, I really think so too, and that is not to boost my own ego, but that is afterwards by getting confirmed by quite a lot of people. I really think that we really were onto something there. But anyway,
if it was just the decoy, right, and they were meeting somewhere else, what would be the reason for that satanic symbol on the ground?
Yeah, this is the
thing. That?
In the morning when I arrived there, I was on the air until 4 a.m. or something like that. Then the next morning when I was one of the first down there, and right in the area where the Truth Movement was supposed to gather, there was a massive big pentagram. There were actually two. One of them made out of train sleepers, like 6 meters in diameter. Massive one. And can you imagine the impact of an image like that? If you had the hotel explode, you got blown up bodies, you got blood and smoke and all of these
it
things.
Would have been a
in the middle of all of this, a big pentagram. Yeah. You know, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were going to sacrifice some people and pull a false flag, and because things didn't look right, and you spoke out worldwide to the USA and other networks that they probably, you know, because they are listening, we could say hello to them, by the way.
Hi there.
Hey guys, how you doing? You know you're going to hell, right? We're on the side of the creator, not the side of the destroyer, but you know, there's nothing you can do to people like us or Olay, because we win in the end through love and because of the supreme creator, and we're not the rebellious ones, you guys are, so we'll pray for you and we'll have, you know, mercy and pity, but God will decide what to do with you in the end.
Well, anyway, what I would strongly suggest to your listeners, since many of these things, these false flag operations that they pull off on a weekly basis now, the agenda nowadays is like the weekly scare. They need to get us, keep us scared all the time. And they very often involve drills in this whole thing, that they set up what is said to be a drill, and then the drill goes live halfway. So if you see in your town or city or wherever that they're setting up or preparing for a drill against mass shootings or school shootings or bomb drills or whatever it is, go down there, take your camera with you, your mobile, whatever, start filming them. Make them very aware of that they are being observed while they're doing it. It can also look like a film set that they're setting up. Just go there and film and stream it up on YouTube while you do it, if you can, so that by doing so, maybe we can start defuse these things before they even happen. Because they have only been able to pull these things off because they've been working in the dark, you know, with us not being aware. So now let's turn it around and be one step ahead of them instead.
Right. That's funny you use the line, working in the dark. In one of the Johnny Cash songs that we play sometimes, you can run on for a long time. He says, working in the dark against your fellow man. You can run on for a long time.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, gonna cut you down. It's a good song. Maybe we'll go to break with that.
Okay.
So what you been up to since the Bilderberg thing? It's been a few months. We started this network with some cool people, Barry Prince and Rick Rittenour and Bill Samsel and Annie and I. And now we're the Shake and Wake Radio Network, and all we got to do is take all the great hosts that we got and get them all the right slots. It's been a blast, and we're on a mission from God.
So what I've done is I went to Sweden for the first time in about 8 years, and one of the things was that I met with some very, very interesting people. There's one coming over from the States. He used to work at the Pentagon. And also people that are on a high level looking into these assassinations and so on. And we're talking about trying to make some kind of work together to expose these things. So that was very interesting for me. I also offered tours at the site of the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, which is an absolute mind-blowing conspiracy. It is unreal. I made a 9-hour interview with Red Eyes Creations about this assassination, because it's so multi-layered. So it's each time was like a 5-hour walk when we just walked around, and I showed what actually happened instead of the official story that people are being fed, but what the witnesses saw and the whole who was involved and the whole thing, how it went down. And that was very much appreciated. I had people coming all the way from Norway just to take part of this. So that was a beautiful experience. But also lately, I've been looking into more and more about serial killers and the whole thing about these pedophile networking and how it all interacts with what we're talking about, the New World Order. And it's just unreal. How
Luciferianism, right? Go ahead.
But it's
that's really what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can combine all the different groups and call them whatever you want, but what they all have in common is they worship their destroyer god of this world, and that is Lucifer, the fallen one. And they do it with no mercy, no empathy, and bloodshed, sacrifice, the sickest, most abominations that could be done to them is worshipped. They're the opposite of what a normal human being would be, who has love and empathy. And
it's just very scary when you start to see how many in the upper parts of society that are involved in this, you know.
Because we tend to think that it's just the Britney Spears ones and certain actresses or people in music, but as Fritz Springmeier said, he believes there's millions that have been mind controlled since Paperclip. Millions across America And you know who else too? The other guy, Annie. Who's the guy from Laurel Canyon that we had on? Our good friend Dave McGowan.
Yeah,
Dave McGowan wrote a book called "Programmed to Kill."
That is one amazing, amazing book. I have big respect for his research. And this is the thing: when you start seeing that these serial killers, right, like Ted Bundy and Henry Lee Lucas and many of these other people, when you start, you know,
Son of Sam,
when you start taking it apart, you will see that these mad killing sprees that we are being told that they have done, many of them are clean executions, like, you know, like contract hits. And very often it seems like they're being blamed on one crazy guy. We're back to the lone nut. But actually that it seems like there's a group of people doing these things, and many of the killings are done with direct hits, you know, contact wounds with a 22. The reason why they use such a small caliber is that with a more powerful weapon, the bullet goes straight through the skull, and the impact or damage that it can do to the brain is not as big as if you use a small caliber where the bullet can
It rattles around in the skull. It will only go in, it won't come out.
Yeah, but it will also go ricocheting inside the skull.
Yeah,
you know? Inside,
So this is the thing. And when you start seeing how many of these, you know, we are being told that serial killers, they have like they just go for one type of person, a brunette or a girl looking in that age and similar appearances, and they had these patterns.
That's John Wayne Gacy going after boys that are like, you know, teenagers. Go ahead.
But I tell you, when you look into many of these major serial killers and so on, their victims varies from children to pensionists, you know, people in their 70s, and it's men, women, children, the whole lot. There's no clear pattern, and the way they kill them, it absolutely not. So it does not make sense at all, the normal picture that we're being fed.
Right.
You know, that the Fed,
right,
the,
like,
where the Fed,
could they,
where the FBI and so on, they say profiling and they track them down. I would say we are looking at a very different picture here. I would think that you disguise a lot of these hits by making killing sprees so that people will not identify the victims and understand why they've been taking out.
Right. You know about the Beltway sniper, right?
No.
Remember the Washington Beltway sniper about 10 years ago?
No.
The guy Lee Malvo and his stepson or whatever went across up and down the East Coast, around Washington, shooting people. They finally caught him. Well, what it turned out to be was one person, his ex-wife, was the intended target. So by going out and killing a whole bunch of people, when you have one intended target, then it looks like a serial killer did it. Get it?
Totally, and this is why sometimes they blow up airliners. They only have got one victim, but by blowing up a whole airliner filled with passengers, they disguise who the real victim is. This is also standard procedure. So
right.
I would say...
I bet you the first thing that you do when you hear an airliner disappeared or crashed is you want to know who was aboard that flight. And you can almost always find that there was somebody who was going against the banksters or against something, New World Order. Correct?
I would say you're very correct there. But also the scary thing here is the way that they get protection from the top. You know, they go into court and they either they're being put away as quick as possible, or otherwise than that, they're being blamed for all...
Silenced. Like the Patsies in Boston.
Exactly. The same time.
One butler, and then the other guy who shows up in court, people are saying that wasn't even him.
Mm. And then you see that, for instance, you got George Bush Jr., who was governor of Texas. I mean, this guy pardoned no one on death row, absolutely no one. They all had to die. And then came Henry Lee Lucas, you know, 600 killings. And who's the one they get off death row? This guy, you know, George Bush signs his released from death row. I mean, what does that tell you? And then you look at Operation 40 with all these assassins that have done all of these things. When they go to prison, they got pardoned by his father, George Bush Sr. You know, the same type of safety net from above. Some of these serial killers even fled to Texas, you know, from Mexico. And so they did everything they could to get into Texas to get under this protection. It's really, really weird and very, very sick. And then you see all these pedophile gangs. I mean, it's not, it's globally. This is what is falling apart now in England. And it started in Belgium many years ago with Marc Dutroux and so on. But it goes all the way up to the top of society.
Right, because you've got, well, what we're dealing with is multiple groups that are secret society satanic organizations, like the Temple of Set, the Process Church, the Freemasons. Those are just a few. The Jesuit Order. They're all working in concert together, and what they all have in common is a worship of the Fallen One, the Destroyer, who can give them money, power, fame, and everything.
You will also see that there's a very clear similarity between these serial killers and patsies that have taken the fall for different assassinations and so on. Most of them have a very horrible childhood. You know, they've been molested and they've been taken to foster homes and so on. And very often they have some kind of connection with military bases or institutions where they've been using MKUltra and so on. So all
the, yeah, like the guy who shot Lennon, Chapman, right?
Chapman. Many of these, and the serial killers, they come from identical backgrounds, very, very similar to the people that had to take the fall. I mean, we're talking about people that they go through awful, awful things to split their personalities so that they can control them, to do awful things and just jump in and out of different personalities, you know, so that...
Trauma-based mind control, right? Yeah, we ought to get you and Fritz and Dave McGowan all on the same show sometime. We'll do 3 hours.
I would love to. I admire them, what they've done.
Yeah, they're very good on the subjects of what you were just talking about.
No, so... It's like
I find it all really fascinating, and I was wondering, maybe some of the serial killers are people that grew up around a satanic family or something, and they're just rogue. They're just going AWOL. In other words, they're just, you know, they're killing on their own, no longer a part of the coven or. Well, if people go in the church have a, what do they call that? Rick, what do they call that? You go to church for what? I mean, you pray in private, but you go to church for a sense of community. But what's the word that I'm looking for?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Boom. Bingo. Okay. So in Satanism, you got that fellowship also. Like in Eyes Wide Shut, the scenes at the mansion where they're all robed up or wearing masks and, you know, they do their things together and sacrifices together.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is maybe some of these people are people that just went rogue. In other words, they were a part of a satanic family and they just, you know, on the run, doing their own thing, so to speak. They're taking it Crowley all the way. Do as thou wilt, you know. They're out there filling for themselves or whatever. Go ahead.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I think the more I look into this, I get a clearer and clearer picture of that we're not talking about serial killers that are on their own going totally mad. We're talking about one individual being blamed for it and maybe being part of doing it, but that there's a group doing it, you know, because when you look at the evidence, many of these things that Bundy and Lucas and Otis Toole and these people are being blamed for, they couldn't pull it off themselves, and they keep referring to them or that they are being part of a group or the other, or they talk, all of them almost are talking about other people involved. And then you have this strange thing that when they get into the legal system, they get released right away, or they do very little time, or they say in the court loop, please don't let me out again, I'm going to do it again, and they're released. And then
right.
used again, I would say, as contract killers, but by doing these killing sprees, they disguise what is actually going on. And what is actually going on with these killings are very often, I think, they are being ordered to take out the competition in the drug trade and so on. But drug trade, not on a street level, you know, among thugs, but the elite are using it to clear.
Fritz says it's, you know, to always have serial killers roaming around, that it's a good fear factor for the news, because they want to keep us in that fight or flight stage, afraid to go out. Oh, there's serial killers around every corner, there's terrorists in every bush. You follow me?
Totally. And if you look at the phenomena of serial killer, it's almost only in the States. In Europe, it's very unusual, but you have got loads. They all started around 1960s, and then it came into like an explosion in the 70s. And so,
yeah, well, what Brits thinks is they've been programmed to kill.
Yeah.
When so is Dave McGowan, so that they go out there and they're doing their killing in the public fields, they need to be protected.
Yeah.
It's another boogeyman, is what I'm saying.
Go ahead, so Jack the Ripper could have possibly been a beta test.
Yeah,
but
it could have been a reason to distract the people from some sort of scandal that was might have been going on.
Right.
So that everybody would be focused on the dead prostitutes showing up all over the place.
But
in other words, look over here, just like the TV news does. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Ole.
No, when it comes to Jack the Ripper, it seems like there were actually three people, but maybe we shouldn't get into that case. But that was also to avoid a major scandal against the royal family.
What did I tell you?
We're back to the same thing. And the whole, like the CIA strategy of tension that they've used in loads in Europe and so on, over the years, and with the help of Stay Behind and Gladio and so on, it all interacts, it all connects together. I just think it's very interesting.
Operation Northwoods, you attack yourself, you cause a problem, scare the heck out of people, and then the people say, oh, protect us, and then you take more of their rights away and you feel them up and frisk them and turn them into prisoners.
But, you know, this is why I feel so optimistic about the future, because when you look at so much mayhem in the world and it leads back to the same small group, I mean, we're only talking about thousands, not millions, but thousands, and we are like 7 billion, you know, so it's like, it's unreal what is going on, that we let these people demonize or terrorize us in this way that they're doing.
I know. But they got the big guns and the nukes and the armies and the hitmen.
Well, we got the big hearts.
They're trying to. We got the big hearts and the big guy on our side.
That's right.
Whatever you call them, we call them Yeshua, King Jesus. But anyways, you know, this is a battle between good and evil, without a doubt. This enemy is formidable, and they are clever devils. They truly are.
Literally.
Think about this. It's like a horror movie, man. Fritz says that there could be anywhere between 2 million and 20 million people across America that have been programmed, that are just waiting, living their lives, not knowing they were programmed. And when they see or hear a certain phrase on the news or TV or the radio, they will become activated to become the monsters that they've been created to be. And we're hearing talks about possibilities of groups like ISIS or something just breaking into schools and malls and restaurants and just shooting people left and right. Can you imagine if we were watching some futuristic movie where there's a terrorist event going to go down because millions have been mind controlled? And I remember we did a joke about it, but it's not funny, how we proved, and there's videos on YouTube that prove that the news uses the same talking points and has all the networks, whether they're big or small, say like the same stupid, silly little phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one about, the economy's down, so the Easter Bunny might have lost a little spring in his step this year. And then they would show another reporter saying the same thing, boom, 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 on and on and on. They're all saying the same thing.
All over the country.
And what they might be doing by doing that is one day they're going to put on a piece of paper or the teletype, and this is what's going to be the talking points today. And that phrase could, like, trigger millions of people that are hearing it, because they're going to be near a radio or a TV or something at some point and hear that phrase and then go off on their little rampages. That would be, if that was like a movie, that would be pretty frightening. But Fritz says that's quite a possibility, that there are not only that, but there are also, besides, you know, mind control, alter personalities out there, there are likely beings that are part human and part something else walking around on this planet for many years.
I tell you, Rick, are you trying to ruin my sleep this night?
Well, the Nephilim were spoke about in the Bible, and, you know, that was Lucifer's goal, was to
have a mortal body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
For them fallen angels to experience everything. But, no, L.A. Marzulli talked about this clip. I forgot what it was called. Something on the freeway or whatever. But it's two women.
Yeah, I know.
That are talking to police. You've seen it then.
And
they're trying to evade police, and they run. One runs across the highway and gets hit by a tractor trailer truck. Then the other one bolts across and gets hit also by a car.
It was a Swedish twin sisters that
yes.
Yeah. So
and then when they appear to be passed out or dead, and you would think they'd be dead, the police and bystanders are like saying, "Are you okay?" And they seem to wake up, and then they get up, no broken bones. They get up and they run away across more lanes of highways.
No, not true.
That's incredible.
Not true.
What?
They're walking down the highway. It's in England, in the middle of the highway. And there's this police that pulls them over and starts talking to them while he's interviewing one of them. Just by chance, there's a film crew with them this day. And while they're standing talking to one of the twin sisters, like I said, they're Swedish twin sisters, and one of them suddenly just runs right across and in front of a big truck and gets hit by it, and by a miracle survives it. They're then taken to the hospital, but because she was quite, I think her leg was quite damaged and so on. But the sister...
Yeah, but they got up and they ran across the dividers and they caught them on the other side. Mm-hmm. They actually got up after being hit by trucks or cars going 60, 70 miles an hour. They got up and managed to go over a couple more barriers and a couple more lanes of highway. That's not possible.
And
that you could be hit by a semi, dragged across the road, and get up like that. That's just...
Oh, it's a very, very, very weird occasion thing. There are very strange things around that. And then... the sister that wasn't hit later, I think she left the hospital and she stabbed this guy, I think, to death that tried to help her. So.
Wow, you got to be kidding me.
No.
Wow, then there are a lot of other...
But they, both sisters, were trying to escape. They said they were trying to escape them, that they were fearful of being killed And that's why they might as well commit suicide. But escape from what? We're back to the same thing. Were they part of what we're talking about? Were they maybe involved?
Hybrids. Hybrids, right.
I wouldn't call it hybrids, but were they sort of victims for mind control or this whole... Because the whole thing goes into... with child prostitution and illegal network, you know, with prostitution networks and snuff babies, right, and awful, awful, awful things where people are being, you know, transported from country to country, used by the elite at their parties and done away with sometimes.
Yeah, awful. Murdered and turned into hamburger, human DNA in meats now.
Awful, awful. Anyway, cheerful program today, I must say.
Yeah, how do we get down this path? But the good thing of it is look at all the great people coming together against this adversary known by many names to stand up, because like what the network's motto is, shakeandwakeradio.com, where the truth is all that matters. And the truth will make you free. Look at all the great people standing up that we would have never met if we weren't going down this road. I believe our creator knows what he's doing. So I have faith. Okay. I'm not afraid.
With that, we should be going to a break.
Oh, Annie wants to go to break now? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, our guest today is the one and only Ole Damegård. What a great guy. And in the studio with us for the last almost 2 weeks, Rick Rittenour. Bill is out today. He'll be back probably tomorrow.
He better be.
Yeah. Unless he's like in jail or something.
And then we'll have a free Bill marathon.
Right. There's a joke in Florida. Come to Florida on vacation, leave on probation, come back on violation.
Okay. Wow. And that... We'll be right back after these brief little messages.
All right.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
I'm free.
Tune in every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Learn how we the people are holding the system accountable with common law grand juries across the nation.
And I'm waiting for you to follow me.
John will be taking questions from the Shake and Wake Radio chat room. Or you can Skype or call in. Visit NationalLibertyAlliance.org for more information. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
John DeRash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Right here, this is where you need to be for wisdom, knowledge, and effective power in action. Join us on Right Now with Rick Ritenour at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Shake and Wake Radio Network, watching the world wake up from history right now.
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it.
ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Carry on!
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. Will make you free. ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are.
Welcome back to Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network. And today we have a special guest for a special show, Ole Damagorn. Welcome back, Ole.
Thank you so much, Annie.
You're welcome.
Ready? We're all of us are here. We're all going to do it. You ready? We're going to sing it. Watch. You ready?
Ole, 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 ole.
Yeah, well.
My God.
We won't be booking anything anytime soon, no. So, but we love you.
I am a singer. But my voice is blown out.
Well, you guys, you know it's a very important date today. Not only 9/11 from 2001, but did you know that it was on 9/11, exactly 10 years earlier, that George Bush Sr. for the first time presented the New World Order on the exact date, the 9/11, 1991. And it was also in 1973, on the exact date, when Salvador Allende was killed. And the whole overtake with Kissinger and the CIA and Operation 40 helped with the coup in Chile, and just the whole terror regime that followed was started on this very date.
Wow.
So, historical day.
Wow.
You know, there's been rumors out there about 15 planes around the United States crashing and things like that on today's date. But of course, you know, rumors are just that, they're rumors. You know, I would pray to God nothing like that would happen.
I think this it would be too obvious, you know, that is why they avoid this date now, because it's just too much in the focus. So I think they go for other dates. But dates are something that is, people who are into numerology and so on know a lot about, that they are really into some of these dates and rituals and so on. Very strange.
Right. They're very crucial for their plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, man. We have Ole on 9/11.
Yeah.
And we had Fritz Springmeier on the 4th of July.
So,
holiday guest, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a special show today.
I try not to look at this day as any type of holiday.
We used to be a morning show, and because of the time difference where Ole is at. If Ole would have went on with us last night, he would have been going on from 1 till 3 a.m.
Right.
Wow. And he's got other people in the house, so, yeah. You know, he's probably needs his rest, so... We decided to do a special afternoon show for him. I believe it was 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much. I know that. I think the first show I was on, that was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something, like 2 a.m. or something like that. The first with you guys.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you've been on with us like maybe, I don't know, 5-7 times or something.
Or more.
Yeah. I don't know, but. For sure.
I lost count.
Yeah, you're one of our favorite guests. We fly your banner.
Thank you.
Because we do play, you know, stuff like Fritz seminars and best of shows where you've been on, and so, you know, we wanted people to see, you know, your website and promote you and stuff, so.
Well, my website is lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. I've got a newsletter. I've got books. One of the books is called Coup d'etat in slow motion, about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, but with all the connections going way back to the JFK, the whole Iran-Contras, pedophile network, Freemasonry, the whole shebang is in that book. There's also donations button if anybody wants to support me. I'm greatly appreciative of that, because like you guys know, it's a lonely road to walk down, and finances are not the best.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
You're always down to your last few bucks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But we have faith, you know. God provides.
He does so. Indeed.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yep.
And. like, if somebody would have told me a year and a half ago that you and Annie are going to do a show every day, 2 hours a day, and then after about a year, you're going to want to spread your wings and be with more like-minded people like yourselves that believe in more of a spiritual battle sort of thing. So a bunch of people would gather around you and kind of get you to start a network. I would say, what are you on, drugs? Get away from me. I'm not a radio show host.
I'm not an owner
either.
But,
I mean, God has a sense of humor and a plan for all of us, and we've been blessed, you know.
Yeah.
I totally believe everything happens for a reason, you know.
Yeah. And also, we're talking about these dark forces and so on, but actually, we're so responsible, because it's only by us not waking up, not having observed what is going on, that they have been able to pull this off for such a long time, you know. So
right.
So we should.
Well, put it this way: we have a creator who wants us to be free, to have free will to choose, and this other adversary is a destroyer who wants to robotize humanity with chips and mind control and not have any free will at all, to be a prisoner. So, I mean, the bottom line is it's definitely a spiritual battle, and anybody with half a brain would want to choose the creator that's all about empathy and giving you freedom and free will.
That is why my website is called Light on Conspiracies as well, because I'm not into spreading fear or hate or revenge or anything like that, but total exposure, fearless exposure of what is going on.
Right.
And
because if we stand in our sovereignness as being children of the Creator, with a right to be here without fear, then there's nothing that they can do. In other words, they use all these fearful tactics to get us to consent or go along with their stupid ideas. In other words, in the same way that Jesus said, you have power over demons if you believe upon him and have faith, that the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain or whatever.
Mm.
We outnumber the Satanists. Billions. By billions, right?
Mm.
So all we got to do is get people to wake up, not consent, stand in their power.
Mm.
And it's over.
Yep. True, true.
I mean, who do you think's going to win that fight? And if we can't, well, then our Creator is coming back with the good angels, not the bad ones that have been messing with humanity for so long. The good ones are coming back in the end anyways. I mean, these turkeys are going down whether they know it or not. And to believe the liars, you see, that's the whole crux of the matter, is that, you know, if we go back as far as we know about mankind, and you look at what it said in the Bible regarding Adam and Eve not believing God when he said, if you eat from this tree, you'll surely die. They didn't believe God, they believed Satan. And that's exactly what's going on when they're watching TV, believing the lying Satanists, who are either, you know, card-carrying ones or mind-controlled, or they're working for Murder, Inc. in some capacity. And it's the disbelief. So if we could only believe in ourselves, believe in the Creator and in peace, and say no more, don't consent, then we don't even have to fire a bullet.
All we gotta
Maybe
do
they'll is just go away.
Stand up.
Yeah. There'll be some amongst society that will easily want to take these people out and get rid of them once and for all. Like, what's the Marine thing? kill them all and let God sort it out, right?
I don't know if that's a Marine thing, but yeah.
Well, the quote. You know, yeah. I don't know. John Todd was a Satanist, and he turned around because people prayed for him. So there's always hope for anybody to come out of that or break away and decide maybe they're going to try to come clean, and they might get whacked. Yeah. Oh, lady, what do you want to talk about? About the generation.
About getting whacked?
What do you call it? about how a lot of these secret society families are generational. In other words, they spawn amongst themselves and they program their own children, and it's a generational curse that they're involved in, this witchcraft associations with secret societies and stuff. In other words, you can't just walk up and join your local free. Well, you can, you know, I guess as a low-level person if you meet that criteria, but I'm saying a lot of this Satanism is generational amongst bloodlines and family, and they do this to their own children.
I would much rather talk about how to empower yourself, because just like you say, fear is their game. Fear is their tool to control us. And if we stay out of fear, if we stay in the emotion called love, I mean, love is what we call the absolute highest frequency in the universe. And fear is one of the lowest one, total terror. And if in a laboratory, if you let a very high frequency and a low frequency meet, what happens is that they don't start struggling and fight in the middle. Instead, what happens is that the lower one just gets annulled. It just disappears. Just like when you turn on the switch in a dark room and you turn on the light, it's not like the shadows are fighting for you know, and don't want to leave the room. They just disappears. The light goes boom and it's there. And it's I think in so many of these situations they try to scare the shit out of us to control us. And the solution is to stay in the frequency, as high a frequency as possible. Just like you're talking about Jesus, where he said,
fear.
Always.
Like no fear.
No right. fear.
In other words, listen, what we're doing if we're in fear is we're stepping out of that boat, walking towards Jesus when he said, go ahead, you can do it. And you're not believing and you're sinking.
Yeah.
That's lack of faith. That's unbelief. That was the point I was trying to get back to.
For sure.
That unbelief, not believing God. When he said, if you eat, you'll die, right? Of that.
It's like,
By being in fear, you're giving the demonic ones the control that they want. They feed off of that. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm not a religious person, so I can, but I really see.
You're spiritual.
You're spiritual. Yeah, for sure. Right. And I see Jesus as one of the major hackers, you know, that really cracked the code of the universe. To see how it works and how we can deal with these difficult situations. And what he said, as far as I've been able to understand it, he said, whatever the problem, meet it with love. Meet it, whatever the frequency, meet it with the highest frequency called love. Because that one accomplished miracles. This is the amazing thing. When you see, and I've been in different war zones and many different tricky situations and so on, and it, if you can manage, like if somebody pulls a gun and puts it to your head or something like that, if you can stay in a non-fearful state, the chances of you being hurt are a lot less than if you go into fear mode. If you go into fear mode, you're in their game. But what happens if you can stay, I've got this, when I'm in a tricky situation,
focus
on the right. word that works for me is divine. So if somebody starts screaming or threatening me, instead of listening to their words and buying into fear, meaning getting into their game where they can control me, I try to focus on the word divine. And so I just keep repeating it to myself. Divine. He's somebody's brother. He's somebody's son. He's somebody's father. Divine. And what happens, it's happened so many times, suddenly the situation diffuses. I don't know how it happens or what happened, but it diffuses. And within like 10 minutes down the line, we're talking, you know, he's just saying about his wife doesn't understand him or whatever, instead of him shooting me, you know?
So, venting, right.
And this is
that venting, right.
This is exactly, I think, the solution to so many of these things. Do not go into fear mode. Do not use violence. Do not hit back. Stay in love. I'm not talking be a wimp and bend down. I'm saying in the power, the true power of what is called love, that is where miracles happen, I tell you. And that is where you can move mountains as well.
That's what brought this network together. All the people on this network are very like-minded, and it's about love for the truth and to get the truth out,
yeah,
to point people in the right direction so they have half a chance.
Yeah.
We're all doing this for love, not for a paycheck or nothing, you know? All of us, pretty much. We're laying down our lives knowing that we're going to be the first to be rounded up, probably, or taken out, because we're speaking the truth and we are putting on the lights. We're putting on the lights.
And that,
and the cockroaches don't like that. Go ahead.
No, and that is also why when you invite me, I'm very happy to come on. Had you been a racist radio show or a violent hate provocative show, I would never have come on. So, and this, just like you say, it's for me, the last few years I've done like 3, 4, 5 shows a week, and ever since I came out with I went open with my book, and it's just like I keep meeting these amazing people all over the globe, all of who have taken a step forward, put themselves in the line of fire fearlessly, just devoted to creating a more beautiful future for the rest of humanity. And it's just wonderful to be among such people. I feel very honored.
Yeah, if we can pull this off and it isn't the end of the world, we'd like to have you on now and then to say who's being arrested every day.
Okay.
Because I'd rather be on the air every day saying, all right, we got some breaking news. They just grabbed Kissinger.
Yeah.
They got him. He's now under arrest, held without bail until he goes to trial. You know, if we could turn this around, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We could go on air every day and talk about how we've changed things.
It's not far down the line, I tell you. It is not far down. I think within a year or so, it's going to happen. It's falling
apart. One way or the other.
It's falling apart for them.
We're going down, or we're going to change things?
No.
Either way.
No, we're not going down. Absolutely not. Right. Absolutely. In my mind, okay, until the day it happens, it's just not going to exist in my mind at all that it would go down. I'm totally focused on the solution, you know. So either I'm going to die surprised, or we're going to create this wonderful, wonderful future, which I'm 100% sure we are doing, and which is very close now, very, very close, I think. But
a lot of people are waking up. I'm seeing a change.
Yep.
In other words, the conspiracy theorist words aren't being thrown as much as they used to, especially on Facebook. Everybody on Facebook now is posting pictures of gun rights or Obama or New World Order or Illuminati. Or it's really becoming quite the in thing.
Do you know when I started this I don't know what to call it, conquest for truth or whatever, 30 years ago, I was so alone. You know, it was such a scary ride. Do you know, like Mike Rupert, the FBI guy, very, very brave man who was part of exposing the Iran-Contras and later 9/11 and so on. He committed suicide a few months ago. But he described, very, very brave man. But he described it in such a beautiful way, that the long trip that this has been for quite a few of us, where he said it's like being what was it he said, you know, the one in an Indian tribe that had to go and find the enemy camp and go find it, go all the way into the belly of the beast, and then without being killed make your way back home and give credible reports you know, to be the scout, and in a very, very lone and dangerous road, and sad road to walk as well, but where he really felt that he delivered, and my God, if anyone did, he was the one. But I just felt there was so, I so identify with the pain that and the sorrow that he had felt over the years. I've lost friends as well that was murdered, and I had to leave my home country and so on because of these things. So I know the pain, and also the scary part because you are up against hard-hitting forces. But now, 30 years down the line, my God, the difference is so incredible. People are awake all over the place.
It's almost fun.
Yeah.
It's almost fun. We're fighting evil.
It is.
And we're happy to do it. It's a pleasure every day. Yeah. It gives us a reason to, you know, it gives us a reason to fight, you know, we're teaching people. We're waking people from a very real matrix.
Yeah. Just like you say, from being a nightmare, it's turned into almost a joy. So, good times to be alive. Very good times. Very challenging. Very good.
Well, as I said, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're really positive. And Tina Elaine, one of our hosts on Harmful Agendas every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, in this slot, typically.
Yes.
The slot we're in right now. Tina Elaine and her English partner, Christina England. Tina just said, he said, shit. Ha ha ha! LOL.
But this is so strange for.
Well, it was said appropriately. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to scare the crap out of us to keep us scared all the time, so that we don't see or mind the invasiveness. President Kennedy said it really well in the speech, and I got it because I know you're a big Kennedy fan. And when we debuted this network, it was the first thing that we played on the network, President Kennedy's speech. Mm-hmm. But he said, we need to be on guard for increased, you know, aware of needs for increased security, because that's how they've done it. That's exactly what 9/11 was, and all of these shootings, right? In other words, it's to acclimate the public that, oh, whenever you go somewhere, you're gonna have to be searched and groped, and make sure you don't got guns or bombs, or you're gonna need an ID card when you're gonna ride a bus or a train or wherever you're gonna go, and TSA tactics, pretty much.
Did I tell you that I was almost arrested in Copenhagen? I did, didn't I?
Yeah, but that's a funny story. Why don't you tell that? What the cop says.
No.
It just goes to show you they lie, right?
No, it's...
He says...
It goes to show that they're not aware of who they're protecting. That was the whole point.
No, right. But the cop said he made a deal with you, and then you asked them.
True.
Go ahead.
True. No,
and then he said...
No, the whole thing was that I was just walking around this... the Marriott Hotel in Copenhagen, just very confused, looking around, you know, the streets and everything, the surroundings. And there was hardly any people in the street. I was walking down the pavement, and then this police car came and pulled over. And I got a little surprised, because in Denmark, this is not usual at all, at least the Denmark that I grew up in. And so it was a young police officer came over, very nice and polite, and said, hi, how are you doing? And so on. And he said, excuse me, but would you mind showing me your ID? And I said, absolutely not. Because I just felt inside myself, why on earth should I do a thing like that? I just walked down the street. Why should I have to show identification? And I said, I'm sorry, but absolutely not. Am I suspected of anything? No, he said, no. It was just that I would just very much like to see who you are. So I said, well, who are you? And he said, well, I'm not going to tell you. And then I said, well, then I'm not going to tell you. And so that went on for a few minutes. And then the captain came out of the car. He came over and he said, please, this was also, these were kind men, you know, kind of human beings, but in a police uniform. The captain came over and he said, please understand, we're not into games and so on. According to Danish law, if the police wants you to identify yourself, you have to, otherwise I have to arrest you. Well, I said, last time I was in Denmark, it wasn't a police state, so I'm not going to tell you who I am. I did not do anything wrong, and that's it. And so he said, well, then I have to arrest you. And then instead of answering, I said, by the way, do you know who it is you are protecting? Do you know the group who are in this hotel who's supposed to gather here? He said, no. I said, but actually, this group, you are employed by the people of this country, Denmark, where I'm a citizen of Denmark. We are paying your wages to protect us from people like them. He said, well, I'm not into politics. I said, it's not a matter of politics. It's a matter of criminality on a level that is absolutely mind-blowing. Well, he said, it doesn't matter. We've got people on the inside that will take care of that. I said, no, you have not. The police inside, they're not inside. They're outside the building. They're not even allowed in this building either. They're on the outside protecting them from normal people like myself. But he said, well, whatever, but I need to arrest you if you don't show me some ID. Well, in the meantime, while we were standing there, there were some people gathering around. There were some journalists and other people just saying, but why did you stop this guy? We saw he was doing nothing. And so they were getting a bit of a heat on them. And in the meantime, I was just looking in this police captain's eyes, because he had very gentle eyes. You know, he was a nice man who had absolutely no idea what he was doing. So in the end, I said to him, well, listen, you can arrest me, but if you think of it, it would be kind of a waste of time, because what would happen is you would take me downtown, you would book me, then you would start to interrogate me. You would say, who are you? I would say, I'm not going to tell you. And then you would say, well, if you don't tell me, you will have to stay overnight. I would then say, okay, please, have you got a pillow? And then I would stay overnight. In the morning, you would say, well, now you have to tell me who you are. I would say, no. And then if you were a kind police officer, you would release me, or I would have to pay a fine. And then if you were a kind police officer, you would drive me back here. So absolute waste of time. So I said, why don't we do it like this? And I turned the situation around. I said, if you promise me to go home and study the Bilderberg group, there's plenty on the internet about this group, inform yourself about who you are protecting against normal people like me. If you do that, I will tell you who I am. And then he said, okay, that's a deal. Let's do it like that. Okay, so I told him who I was. I mean, it wasn't like it was a secret. I was on posters there, right on the, you know, being one of the key speakers. So, I mean, you didn't have to be very clever to figure it out. Anyway, but I gave him my name, totally false address, and the rest was false also. But the name that I promised, I delivered. And then I said, so now are you then going to go home and study? And that's when he said, no. Well, I said, that is your karma, not good for being a police officer, but not good at all. At that time, he was so surrounded and being bombarded with questions from everywhere. So when he started checking my name and so on, I just took for a walk, you know, and left the place. And I think they were there for another 20 minutes having to answer questions from these other people. But it's just like, I think there's so many beautiful examples on YouTube and so on, where people at these fake border station in Arizona and wherever it is, just refuses. They inform themselves of their rights and just refuse to take part of the game. You cannot get me to give up my name or leave my car or whatever it is. And it's just beautiful to see that type of resistance.
Yeah, it truly is. And John Durash from National Liberty Alliance is on our network exclusively 3 nights a week, on Monday, Thursday night, tonight, and Saturday night. He does a show called The Word, where he does an online Bible study, because he used to be a Bible teacher. And this guy is really incredible. He's getting, he's organizing people in states all across the United States to stop corporate fiction law and to get people not to consent. And it's an amazing thing. It really is. I mean, for the most part, the judges don't know what to do because they're backed into a corner.
This is the thing. It's absolutely
common law. In other words, back to common law, God, which came from God's law. Common law, do no harm. No victim, no crime, no extortion, no... because what they're basically doing is they're kidnapping people off the streets and extorting them and using them as human trafficking, like cattle, to make money off of them and to create a prison industrial complex.
Do you know during the Stalin dictatorship, people were terrorized, but we're talking of this, a country like Russia, the former Russia and the Soviet Union. I mean, it was a massive, massive big country. Still, he was able to keep them terrorized and under control. And the way he did it was that he went and attacked people's home 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, in the dark. They came knock, 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 open up, and they started arresting people like that. So people were living in terror and fear. But the thing was, if the sun had been up, they would have seen that it was only a handful of soldiers running around, you know. He didn't have the soldiers to do that, to keep the whole land, country like that. They were kept in fear of this illusion of power. And it's the same with this elite group. They're such a tiny little group, you know. There's a beautiful YouTube video called The Tiny Dot. It symbolizes the whole thing. Absolute beautiful. Where this group that is holding us by the balls in fearful mode. I'm sorry again.
No, it's all right. That's funny. It's amusing. Go ahead.
And it's like a grain of sand. They're so, when you compare to the population of the globe, they're nothing. And
right.
Do you know this?
It's like a tick. It's like a tick. So all you need is a pair of tweezers or
no,
hold a cigarette.
It's not even the size of a tick. No way, nowhere near. And do you know, when I held this, I held a couple of speeches just outside the hotel where the Bilderberg group were meeting. And I said, okay, we're talking about a world shadow government. I mean, these are some of the most powerful people in the whole world, you know, doing so much awful things to the world. So how big is this group? And I pointed towards this hotel. Is this hotel totally packed with them? Absolutely not. Is one floor of the hotel totally packed with them? Absolutely not. Is one or two conference rooms packed with them? Yes. Okay. So compare the size of these two rooms with the rest of Copenhagen, the size of Copenhagen. It's nothing. Then compare that to the size of Denmark. Absolute nothing. Then Europe. Than the rest of the world. That tiny, these two tiny little rooms filled with these so-called powerful people, they are nothing. They are so, so few. It's just like Alice in Wonderland, the Wizard of Oz, you know, the guy, this voice that says, I'm powerful, I'm powerful. And
yes.
Behind the curtain, when they finally, because Dorothy is so brave, and doesn't back off, you know, does not lie down and just die, but stands in her truth because she just want to go back home into the life where everything was in balance and harmony and unity and so on. She does not back off. And instead she discovers that there's something moving behind a curtain. She pulls the curtain and behind it is a tiny little old man with a microphone and a massive amplifier. That is
yes.
The elite. It's a small group of old men that is pumping out to the rest of the world, we are powerful and you are powerless. I would say it is the other way around. We are the ones that are powerful and they are not. That it's just an illusion of power.
Right. They're at the top, the bottom of the pyramid. With the masses, we should all just run out and the top would collapse like the World Trade Center. The top of that thing just like tilting and falling. If the bottom just runs out, the bottom of the pyramid running opposite directions.
Exactly.
And then we'll meet after and have a cookout and a party, you know?
Yep. It's going to be a good day.
Yep. And even if it goes badly and we should meet on the other side, it'll be a heck of a victory party. Yeah. Right.
Because we get to see one another.
Yay. Right?
Yep. Those of us who all stood up against evil.
Yep. But it's going to end good. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. You know, we're here for a reason. We're here, our souls have chosen. It's like the native Indians say, this is a time when the strongest of the strong have come down to earth to live here, not to be living lives like wimps, but to wake up, stand up in truth and transparency and bravery against this so-called enemy, but to evolve ourselves, to for our souls to just expand and become what we're meant to be. You know, so this is a wonderful time, absolute wonderful time to be alive. Scary, like the word starts with an S that I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah.
Scary, like blah, blah, blah. But...
Well, we're part owners of this network now, so... It's not like you're going to get us fired or something.
But this is, I must say, when it comes to the States, right. It is so confusing to me. It is, I cannot say a word of four letters that start with S-H-I-T, but the government can go out and kill millions of people and slaughter, and that's okay. But to say a word like
drop bombs right.
and commit terror acts and
murder children
and take the homes away from people and ban homeless. That's okay, but I can't say this word that starts with an S. For me, that is absurd. Totally absurd.
Oh, it is.
So
it is.
Anyway, I'm not going to say it again.
No, but you know what? It's not about really that word. It's more about if one can express themselves, and this is hard for me, because I grew up in bands, you know, all my life playing with, you know, a bunch of guys in bands and clubs. I also worked in garages doing, I was an auto body person. That's what I went to school for. And construction, too. And these are the type of guys, every other word is like...
Yeah.
You gotta effing, you gotta take that effing thing off before you can put that other effing thing on, and we gotta get this S done, all the time and everything. But lately, I've been trying to be mindful, even when I'm not on the air, because I've had a few people say, "You represent something of a preacher in a way."
Yeah,
because you are preaching the truth. So when you use foul language, you're only feeding the beast in a way.
I can,
because he's the profane one. You know what I mean? Like, not to take away from your message. And the only other thing is some of our listeners, you know, might be, say, a woman in her 30s who's at home listening, and she's got a little kid, or like one of our hosts, BK, the guy who was on before us, Brian. He has an autistic kid. So, like, if Brian was listening right now, and during this show, his son heard you saying, "Balls, Daddy." He said, "Balls." He said, "Shite, Daddy."
Yeah.
And, you know, Grandma and Grandpa come over to visit, and the autistic kid's running around saying, "That's..." saying the shish word and stuff. Where'd you hear that? Oh, I'm Rick and Annie. Shake and wake.
I hear you.
Shake and bake.
I hear you loud and clear. Right. English is not my native tongue, so I don't
care.
No, but I should, because normally I don't speak foul language. It's just sometimes with these type of things, it's just like, oh, come on, you know?
Yeah.
Emotional.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know what it is. It's about who you feel comfortable around saying it.
Yes.
Like if I'm not, when we go off the air, we're going to go, wow, that was effing fun, you know. Olay said, they got us by the balls.
Well, I did that.
I'm going to make a commercial out of that.
Go for it.
Can I use? Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to take some snippets of your voice, right? Like maybe playing Olay Olay and you got saying something like, it's always great to be on with you guys. You know, they want to scare the, and I'll put a beep on the word S. They want to scare the out of us. And they, so that we think they have us by the balls.
Please do.
And we'll like, put some cool music in the background. And then we'll have, then we'll fade right into like BK with like some crunchy music saying, you're listening to Shake and Wake Radio. Shake and Wake Radio, where the truth is all that matters. And the truth will make you free.
Sounds good to me.
That would be funny, you know, because everybody knows Olay as being like this kindly, soft-spoken gentleman. I mean, you're like the closest thing I know to like a monk or something, you know.
Oh, come on.
But you travel around the world, you know, exposing these things and doing tons of research and giving your whole life. I mean, like I said, it's an honor to be connected to all the great people that are coming together to save humanity in the battle against good versus evil, because the programming is overwhelming and it is satanic programming. The symbols are everywhere. That would be a great topic for you to cover. Symbolism in media and how, you know, how, whether we're talking religious media or just Hollywood, commercials, television, the Illuminati symbolism is in your face everywhere. And it has an effect on people, whether they're aware of it or not. It's like a spell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to end on a dark moment, but if we have that power and that light and love within us, if they're trying to instill fear or using their symbolism or numerology and things, and numbers and satanic pyramids and signs and things that you'll see in the background in an image or a shot, or somebody's got the Freemason thing on his hat. No matter what you watch on that boob tube or in a theater or even driving down the main street, all the logos for the biggest corporations have a meaning to the colors and the shapes being used. They're identifying themselves as being with that beast system. So it is, in a way, a little bit scary. But what's cool about what we and our friends, our guests and hosts and co-hosts and are doing is we're not really afraid anymore. That we went through that stage. Now it's like it went from like ticked off and pissed off about it all to kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna let the enemy in. Because whether people believe it or not, Olay, there are spiritual forces that we can't see working on us telepathically. In other words, like a good angel or a bad angel trying to inspire you to be lustful and deceitful or gluttonous or greedy. You really got to question the thoughts that pop into your head and what side are they coming from. Rick's played a lot of informative documentaries on that. Rick?
Oh, yeah.
We only got a few more minutes, like 7 minutes, but get into that a little bit. Just, I'm sure Olay knows what I'm talking about. In other words, we've been talking about the physical reality of these different type of people that are upside down and the brotherhood of death. And we're the children of God, of light, of love, of empathy. And there are also disembodied spirits and beings, both good and bad, that can give us inspiration or send us down a path. And you have to recognize when you hear those voices.
Most people call it their conscience.
Our intuition. Right. Right.
And you know, I think it's a lot deeper than that. I think it is. There's a constant struggle in our minds.
We are under spiritual attack. If you are a good person, if you love humanity and love God, like Ole was saying, and you want to be all about love, they are going to try to drag you into some sort of iniquity.
And
it's temptation. To steal your glory somehow.
Temptation is always there. It's always there. It's whether you accept that temptation or whether you deny that temptation.
Right. Like if they could set Ole up in a compromising situation to which they could silence him, they could say, you ain't talking no more, or writing no more books. Otherwise, this information's going public. That's how they control senators and a lot of people.
Absolutely, yeah. But those people, you know, I know that they're scared about what's going on right now.
A lot of them are compromised, I would say. Some of card-carrying lovers of Satan and death, and they get into that whole drinking of the blood and the adrenal chrome and the sacrifice and just no mercy or empathy at all for a victim of a snuff crime or a sacrifice, or they love war and death.
Yes.
But then there are others that have been given trustworthiness to achieve a certain high level to do their bidding for them, that they blackmail, that they've set up, compromised in some way.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, as you stated earlier, people are waking up. There's a definite rising of consciousness right now across this planet, and people are starting to see this. Now, if people keep seeing this, maybe we can become the Bigfoot that smushes the little roach.
Amen to that. So be it.
I would like to say that I'm against stepping on roaches or whatever. Since I'm a monk.
Yeah.
Since I'm a monk.
Yeah.
I'm a newly addicted monk.
Wait,
Rick, hold on. I just want to say something before you finish up. There was a big palmetto bug we're in Florida that looks like a giant roach is mm-hmm. what they look like.
Yes.
Walking across the floor, and he was walking towards the door last night. And I said, Rick, open the door. And, like, I motioned him, and the thing walked right out the door. I basically catch moths and take them outside. Yeah. I don't step on ants or bugs. Actually, I step over them, you know, because I figure they're going to eat the crumbs off my floor or sugar that ain't getting dropped.
No, I'm the same.
No,
way.
I mean,
but
unless it's a brown recluse spider or something that could kill me or hurt us real bad, I tend not to want to kill anything, you know. No. I was a vegetarian for about 14 years. Annie and I together about 14 years.
That was a bad choice of words, yeah.
Yeah, but the whole thing is how to solve this problem, you know, because we got this very dark, violent force against us, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Do we hit back, or is it...
Imagine if we could get the whole world to turn on their automobile lights and their lights in their house for 28 or 48 hours to signify that we were awake. And we're turning on the lights on you guys. It's over. Imagine if everywhere you went, you saw everybody had their headlights on and every house and every light was, you know.
But it's like we were talking.
Shut the grid down. We'd overload the grid. Then we'd be in darkness, right?
Do you know, I've got this prayer that I really love. Maybe if it's okay, I would just like to say it.
Sure. Okay. We don't have the next... Up next, we're going to run a few documentaries.
Okay, but...
So you can go as long as you want. We don't have to stop.
It's a short one. It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. Because I think it's only by healing them as well that we can solve this whole thing. Otherwise, it's just going to be repeating itself, you know, as we start killing them or make a revolution. Listen to the word revolution. It just repeats itself. It's a matter of evolution.
It revolves. Yeah. It's a revolver. It goes around and around.
So
I believe Jesus said an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind,
that,
right?
That was Gandhi saying it.
Gandhi
said
that.
Yeah, but it's so true, though. So let's not go blind. Let's become monks instead and have a beautiful party on the other side. And
there you go.
Yeah, forget about the monk stuff. But yeah. Anyway.
Hey, let's do a chant together. You ready? Here
I'm
we go.
I'm ready.
We're going to hold hands. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there's at least three of us, and we know you're on the spiritual good side, so I'm sure he's with us today.
He's always with us.
And all the listeners.
Yep. Anyway, guys, thanks a million for having me on the program again.
Oh, it was wonderful to have you back.
And we look forward to having you again.
And
yeah, we're going to repeat. We're going to repeat this show tonight also.
And also, if you get Judith Berry Baker back on, please give her my love as well. And I think she's one of the bravest women and most important women alive, you know.
She is.
I love her.
She is. Yeah. We
she
love
sends,
her.
She sends Annie recipes.
Yeah, she's a really good friend of mine now. We love
they talk
her.
All the time now. So we'll be having her on soon.
Excellent.
You know. All right, well, God bless. And be safe.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon. And if anything breaks, get in touch with us. Then.
Whoever gets arrested first lets the other one know, okay?
All right.
Okay.
There you go. Take care, Ale.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ale. You've been listening to Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network. And special guest, Rick Rittenhour, and Grandpa.
I like that show. It was great.
This is a good song, isn't it? Can you say fight the good fight, Grandpa?
Fight the good fight, Grandpa.